Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
He's played a zombie, a skinwalker, and a vampire, but today he's all human and talking to me about the upcoming TNT show, Snowpiercer, and the award winning puppet killer. Stay right there because I have the multi-talented Alex Ponovic in studio now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
It just brings it out of you, huh?
You have to.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? My name's Jay Ellis, of course, here with the spotlight on with the very talented Alex Ponovic. I am so thankful for you coming and visiting me today.
Thanks for having me, man. This is awesome. I always like coming back here.
LA, obviously, is a place for you to visit and not home, right? Because so much of your work is up in Canada.
Yeah, it's mostly up in Canada, Vancouver. I've worked here quite a few times also, but I love jumping back and forth, and I always love coming back to LA.
Well, you got amazing weather. I mean, that's pretty common for LA, but you probably are super excited.
Of course I'm super excited. Yeah. I left the rain in Vancouver and I was like, this is it.
Oh man. Well, I have so many topics to talk about. The first major thing is people would kill me if I didn't start with Van Helsing, so
yes.
I just want to start right there.
Let's
because,
do it.
Of course, we're in season 4 right now of TNT's Van Helsing.
Yes.
You were coming back as Julius, turned human, but now we just had episode 3, right, where we saw
episode 3. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So the first two episodes were basically Julius is now more of a patriarch than anything of training the new Van Helsing.
Yeah.
and it's been a joy to do. Kia King, working with her has been it's been fantastic. She's just really talented and very physical. And, you know, at first being a big dude like me, like 6'5", and she's like 5'3",
yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to break her. And she's
right.
Like, don't worry, dude, you won't break me.
She's tough.
She is tough, and she's very talented. So I was just really excited that the way we kicked off season 4.
Yeah, and now that we're 4 seasons in, how do you feel like your character Julius has, what's his arc been, and what have you been most excited to discover about playing Julius?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, when we started season 1, and I was playing badass Julius as the vampire, I never expected him to go the other way. And I honestly never expected me to last more than a couple seasons. And it's a testament to the showrunner, Neil Abute at the time. Jonathan Walker's a showrunner now. And all the writers, Matt, Jeremy, Jackie, everyone there has been nothing but supportive. And the idea of turning Julius human was something that they were talking about it came across when we would yell cut in the first season and then I'd just be a big goofball and just playing around.
Uh-huh.
They're like, maybe this would be a good switch.
Right.
And I love the idea after that, season 2 and 3, where I'm playing, you know, everything's a discovery and everything's about retribution. So Julius was all about, you know, if I'm going to go out in this world as a human, I'm going to go out doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll, like, smile to the heavens as they take me. But I am not going out being that other guy again. So I really loved that journey of it didn't matter if he died or not, but he was going out the way he wanted to. And then now going into season 4, the more of a strength in owning where he came from and as a tool to get through what we're doing as opposed to a retribution.
Mm-hmm. I want some of the choices that you make when you're first introduced. You're talking about playing a vampire, and now you had to change into a human. Is that something physically that you changed, or just how did you adjust your performance to fit what was happening in Julius's storyline?
Well, it was interesting that the being a vampire, you know, and I was the vampire. Julius was made in 1936, and so he didn't know anything. Going forward until when he turned human, all he knew was 1936. So the idea of playing everything new and everything almost with your, like the way that a dog's ears are back,
yeah.
that's how I was playing it. And so I was really driving the vampire aspect of it to be as ruthless and bloodthirsty. I really tried to get emotion out of that first season, and it was all about power and blood. I didn't feel like And it was, again, it's the whole team basically going into, there's so many places in Julius's first season of getting into an emotional spot of whatever the anger was that it hurt, whatever it was. And we really tried getting rid of that. It was just strictly power and blood. So when we did the flip from vampire Julius into human Julius, then you get to see the humanity. And I think, you know, their guidance really helped me make that switch.
I love that you talk about how they saw you when they said cut and they took that personality on. Is that something that you've noticed before in projects where it's just you're playing a character and then as soon as you hear a cut, you're like, and they're thinking, oh, we could incorporate that somehow.
You know what? I haven't, because we're already kind of deep into the character. This was one of the only times where, you know, the show, and we're all really great friends, where they go, you know what, let's see what this guy's like, you know, that let's put that on camera. But mostly other shows, listen, man, I have so much fun on set. Like, it's insane to me that people can get together and create something in such a wonderful atmosphere, loving, compassionate atmosphere, that we can, you know, play these characters and succumb to these characters. And when we yell cut, it's like, I can't believe we're doing this.
Yeah.
This is so awesome.
It's playtime.
Exactly.
Right.
And I really treat it like that. I take my characters extremely serious, but I the humanity and just everyday living and working with people as a team is something that I really enjoy.
With all of your projects, like, your resume on IMDb just reads as an action role after action role, and with Van Helsing, it's really no different, because I know that you're involved in a huge amount of stunts. Now, are there days shooting where, when you're shooting stunts, it's like choreography and it's easy to learn and you're like, oh, I got this? Like, because you have a boxing background, so
right.
I'm sure that's something that you can pick up on just a little bit quicker than maybe a normal actor could.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has helped me, but there's also, you know, Kamani Smith and Dan Rizzuto, the stunt coordinator and fight coordinator, they're the most talented people I've ever worked with. So when they're working with weapons, and we did some gun stuff, and that happened the first couple episodes, and even staff stuff, it takes a lot of concentration to make sure we're on point. They make it easy for me.
Right.
They really do. And the boxing stuff, how they incorporated that into the show, really helped me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I honestly love doing, I don't want to fall down stunt wise. I don't like falling at all.
Yeah.
At all. That's a long way down.
It hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't mind fighting. So fighting is fine. And especially when a stunt coordinator or fight coordinator understand that I can pull it off, then it's just, you know, easy rolling.
Yeah. You're like, I'll punch the person, but I won't fall back.
Yeah. Get the stunt guy in here to fall down.
And we're so early in season four. Is there anything that we can expect coming up in the season? I know you won't spoil anything, but anything you're comfortable talking about?
All I gotta say is Dracula's coming.
What?
That's Dracula's awesome. Dracula's coming. And I mean, it's not a secret, but Trisha Helfer, who was in Battlestar Galactica,
yes,
plays Dracula. And to us, when we found out, you know what, you immediately go and I love the way the times are changing, because when they said they're going to cast Dracula, your brain immediately goes, oh, I wonder what dude they're going to get for this.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what is so great. They gender bend.
Totally.
And it works.
This is the first time, I personally think it's the first time I think Dracula has been introduced as a female. So it's super exciting. And Trish is such a phenomenal actress that I'm excited to see it. I didn't see a lot of the stuff when we were shooting it, so when we get to when it gets to air, I'm going to definitely check it out.
I knew that Trisha is coming from Battlestar Galactica and Lucifer. So I'm pretty sure she has a huge, like you, and I kind of want to hear about your experience when she walks into Comic-Con. I'm imagining she's swarmed.
God,
and
dude,
I kind of want to know about your experience going to conventions. Just,
yeah, I personally love it, and I told this story the other day where like I grew up in a town called Winnipeg, and the Jets, the hockey team there, were one of the biggest draws of the city. And I still remember that I would be waiting by the boards, and the defenseman Serge Savard walked, you know, from the warm up of the ice and back into the dressing room, and just winked at me, looked at me, and gave me a little wink.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. I was super excited. So that kind of a feeling, where he probably forgot it in a heartbeat, the idea that I can now share that with other people who at Comic-Con who want an autograph, who want a picture, and see them excited, I know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. And it makes me times 20 more excited that people are even care about me in that way. So I really cherish those moments, especially at Comic-Con. Watching Trisha handle it with such grace also, because she is just swarmed way more than me.
Yeah.
Look at her. And but I that's how I feel about it. I really enjoy it.
And there's no, for you, you can't camouflage in, because you, like you said, you're 6'5".
Yeah.
It's like you're very standing out. Like, people are like, I know him.
Right, that's like, exactly it.
You can't camouflage
in. No, like I was at a Starbucks and a dude just froze, and he's just with his jaw open looking at me, and I'm like, how you doing, man? He goes, Julius? I'm like, that's right, buddy. He goes, oh my God, I get a picture. Of course.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of stuff blows me away.
Yeah.
And I really, again, and it goes to the whole Van Helsing team and the producers and everybody that put me in a position like this where we got to have a show that's 4 years going, and mm-hmm. hopefully more. We'll see.
And the fans just keep. So is there an experience that you've had with a fan or just somebody where, do you have like an example of like a crazy question or request that you've had from somebody at Comic-Con, maybe from a Van Helsing fan? I would assume like vampire. I've heard vampire people are like, can you bite and you pretend to bite? Like, for a picture
I got a
request.
Little bit of that, but okay. I also got underwear. Like, they wanted my underwear.
What?
That was the weirdest one.
That is a really weird request.
Right? I was like, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
And so I just answered, well, sorry, I don't wear it. I don't wear any underwear. How's that?
that's actually a really good way to get out of it. I like that.
But that was it. But yeah, you get, you know, especially the videos. And I love interacting on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram with a lot of my fans. And I've got some amazing people that are constantly supporting and pushing my material out there. And just it's just been an amazing journey with these guys.
It sounds like a great experience, and I'm happy that it's so nice to hear that a show that you like has behind the scenes just a great crew and cast working on it, because it just makes the experience watching it, like, it's so nice to hear that you're having fun.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's the most fun I've ever had in my career,
mm-hmm.
with the best people I've ever worked with.
That's
so
amazing.
I'm really, really lucky.
And like you said, and that shoots up in Canada as well,
in
right?
Vancouver,
so,
yeah.
So there you go. So you're in your at least home around.
It's
home.
So great, because yeah. Whenever we get people from out of town coming on the show, and that's a thing, because being this involved in Van Helsing, I love playing the host. So anybody that's coming on for a guest star or even a day player or even new people on crew because other people are switching out, I just love letting them know that we see them. And mm-hmm. we're a part of, this is a team. This isn't you just walking on. And especially, you know, having a guest star come on and they're like the new kid in school.
Yeah.
So usually the people in school have to welcome them. I love doing that. I love, because it just gets a better performance, yeah. and a better time from everybody. So
right.
I really dig it.
You have a little banner that says, welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the show!
That's really nice of you. I'm sure everybody appreciates that. So Van Helsing is a combination of sci-fi and horror, which are two genres that I really love. And I noticed that Puppet Killer, which that was, you were a producer on that one as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I was a producer.
And
yeah.
star.
Yeah.
And I just noticed that it won some awards here, the Monthly Edition Award for Best Horror Film and the September Award for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I'd love to talk a little bit about the process of, where did Puppet Killer come from? How did you get involved? Like, just, what was the beginning process?
It's quite a ride.
Okay.
It's been anything that, it's an indie film, you know, and those are the craziest, most testing, most enjoyable, relationship building things that you can go through. And so I was brought the idea from Lisa Ovies, the director, and she was telling me about the whole thing and how one of my friends, Lee Majub, helped develop the character Simon and who we can get involved. And we got, you know, some really great people involved, Richard Harmon from The 100. And we're all friends, that's
yeah.
why. And that was the coolest thing. We're spending the holidays because the gear was cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And just in this house doing this like crazy puppet. I play a 17-year-old.
That's awesome.
I play a 17-year-old.
You pass. You're good.
There's a shot when we were saying it. We're like, we're just gonna play it the way it is, mm-hmm. and we're gonna like. There's a scene where we're in the school, and we're kind of like, I'm going to class with normal 17 year olds
that's so awesome.
And me, and they're like, hey Billy, hey John, you know.
I love that.
It was so much fun because when we got from when we introduced it that way, and then we went from the school to the cabin, you lose track of the age, and you just see the joy and, right. of the horrorness of it, uh-huh. and. And I said horrorness. Did you hear that?
Yeah, horrorness. We'll use it. We'll accept it.
Yeah, that's right. So the whole process was great. And you know, trials and tribulations that always happen in the film industry. But we got through it and we got it out there. And the producers that all bound together to get the film out. The writers. It was just a really massive joy to finally see it done and see it out there and you know, especially with Elisa, it was her big baby and yeah. and it was a while to get it out into the public, but when we finally did it, you get to see reap the rewards and she deserves it.
I should take a step back just for mm-hmm. people who don't know what Puppet Killer is. Can you explain the story a little bit?
Oh,
sounds fun.
Well, it's basically an 80s spoof of all the horror films, mm-hmm. and Simon is this puppet that I have when I'm a kid and I watched. These horror films with my mom, who ends up passing away from cancer. So the closest thing that I have to my mom is this puppet, yeah. and things happened when I was young, and no one goes back to the cabin for a bunch of years, and then finally I said, "Well, I'm graduating this year, guys. I think we should go to the cabin,
yeah.
and just make sure everything's okay." And then it just kind of the hijinks kind of takes off from there.
I love that it's like a blend of the genres of. Cabin in the Woods or Evil Dead, like yeah. it just has the tropes of those normal
Halloween. It's everything in it, and Simon is a crazy little guy.
And what is the audience for? Like, would you say? I mean, it has kind of comedy mixed with horror.
Definitely
it's
comedy.
Just everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's everything. And the thing is, like when it just played a festival, Lisa told me that it was just so much fun because there's these amazing horror films that you get totally lost in, and then there's ours where you know we're lovingly taking the piss out of all the you know yeah. amazing horror films out there. And kind of giving a little bit of a fun spoof and a tribute, tip of the cap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there something about those scripts, sci-fi horror, that you're just drawn to those genres? Or is it just those are the kind of things that come your way? Are you just like, give me a rom-com?
Yeah. Well, I've done that too. But the thing, honestly, it always boils down to the people that you work with. Mm-hmm. And obviously you want to love the script, but it usually comes with, and I love the fact that I get to work with people a lot. And most of the people that I've encountered in my life and with work have been nothing but amazing. So whenever there's an opportunity that presents itself that I could jump in and help in any way and be a part of it in any way, mm-hmm. it's mostly because of the people.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me to Snowpiercer is coming from a franchise or from a movie that I feel like has a cult following. People all know, or the people who love the movie know the class system and how it works on the mm-hmm. train, and just it's this not post-apocalyptic but just this world that humans are, we've just kind of made the world a terrible place, and now we have to depend on this train that is sustaining life. Can you talk a little bit about your involvement in Snowpiercer coming up?
Yeah, well, and again, like it's the train that the only way to survive is to be in the train because it's yeah. minus 100 something out yeah. there. And so that's the only thing that's moving. And my involvement in it, I mean, when I heard it was going to become a series, I was super excited mm-hmm. about it. When I heard I got a chance to read for it, I was, again, very excited. And there was some people a part of it, like Graham, who's the showrunner, is a part of it, who I'm a massive fan of. I just wanted to be a part of it because I really love the character.
Yeah.
And the character... when we were kind of jamming on ideas, and I wanted to make him Serbian, which is my background, because mm-hmm. he was Eastern European Polish, but I in the audition I improvised in Serbian, knowing that they didn't know that it wasn't Polish,
yeah.
but it was fun to do a little improv in my own language. And then when I got the gig, I was like, so guys, yeah. I can't do that improv if we're going to keep him Polish. Mm-hmm. And Graham was super gracious in helping me find the character, because he could have easily said, well, no improv, we're keeping the character the same.
Right.
But he really wanted to see what we can come with it, so we made, you know, his name's now Bojan Bošković, mm-hmm. which is a Serbian, and he's a breechman, and he works, he has the most dangerous job on the train, which is working outside of the train.
Ooh.
And so I get
lucky guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm out there whenever things aren't working, and I make sure that I fix it. And he's a happy-go-lucky with some darkness in him. Mm-hmm. And I really, really love playing him. Eastern European accent. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
And so this is a new character, somebody that we have. This was not somebody in the film. So and the TV show kind of took the premise, and we're just expanding it out into a series.
Yeah, it's a massive ensemble, and mm-hmm. and the set that we have is just like all these train cars. And the coolest thing that I think is every time you're shooting, there's people rocking the train.
Oh, wow.
So
that's people
rocking the train.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's amazing because they're always on point.
Hey, your character should be out there.
I should.
Be helping out.
But it's just that whole team, and it's such a massive ensemble that they've just developed some great characters and great storylines. I'm having a great time with it, and that hence why I'm growing this out.
Okay, oh, that's for the character.
Yeah, and so yeah, it's for the character, and I've never had it this long before. So
is it starting to get to that scratchy point?
Yeah. I don't know. Is this the scratchy point? Does it pass this?
For the listeners who do not have the.
You've got a great one.
I have a beard, and I've had it longer. I've had it really trimmed up. I think you're past the super scratchy point, but now it's when you lay on a pillow, you're going to notice it just going a bunch of different ways.
Right.
You have to brush it out, which is something
that feels
really
weird.
Yeah.
I definitely a friend of mine said I had a hair lip. I'm like, no, hold on.
Yeah, just parted it a little bit. How long are you going to grow it for the character?
I will see. We start shooting at the end or mid-November.
Okay.
And then we'll see how it looks, and that's how we'll start.
And so we talked a little bit about, before we were rolling, about TV versus film, and mm-hmm. you were saying how excited you are to be involved in so much television. When you get a breakdown for a character, or you hear about a movie, or you hear about a TV show, is it something where you're thinking, scheduling-wise, because now you have Van Helsing, you're going to have Snowpiercer, are you thinking, oh, can I fit this in? Are you trying to stay as busy as you possibly can, or do you like to build in a little bit of time for yourself to reset?
Honestly, when I'm working, quote unquote, mm-hmm. it's exactly what I want to do. I don't consider it work, so yeah. I don't look for time off because I just have so much fun, and it's not, even though it's grueling at times, there's a lot of times where you're just coasting through and just in, like, your sensory overload and so many amazing things going on. Mm-hmm. So I love whenever there's an opportunity to see if we can make it work, mm-hmm. and see how long it'll be, like that whole thing. But I'm never making a decision where I'm saying I need some time off.
Yeah.
Because I've been lucky enough that most of the projects that I've been involved with, even though they've been tough, have been nothing but glorious to me. So I love looking, and even when we were talking about the characters in mm-hmm. film and television, nowadays television has these amazing characters that have this arc, not through a couple hours the way a film does, but you're talking seasons, and mm-hmm. and finding the nuances and something new in there, I just find really exciting, especially the material that's being done now. And now the idea of film, like, I still love doing film, especially Puppet Killer. Like, I don't know if I can do a 17-year-old for 4 years.
Right.
But I definitely know that in that 2-hour span, you know, we're going to do the best we can, and we had a really great time doing it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things in there that today's day and age with television is just phenomenal. And characters that have this arc, not through a couple hours the way a film does, but you're talking seasons, and mm-hmm. and finding the nuances and something new in there, I just find really exciting, especially the material that's being done now. And now the idea of film, like, I still love doing film, especially Puppet Killer. Like, I don't know if I can do a 17-year-old for 4 years.
Right.
But I definitely know that in that 2-hour span, you know, we're going to do the best we can, and we had a really great time doing it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things in there that today's day and age with television is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I imagine having 4 years to discover a character and what they would do in a certain situation helps you feel more comfortable in their skin as well as your own.
Absolutely, because it amalgamates it. It literally turns into you, and how would you do these situations? It even makes it deeper within the character because I've done them for so long. Mm-hmm. There's a respect to that character now, yeah. and the decisions that I make with Julius is definitely, I don't want to put him in a position where no, Julius wouldn't do something like that. Let's figure this out. Let's talk about it. And again, everyone's so collaborative on the show that we find a way.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're constantly staying busy, but is there anything that you have as a hobby or just to kind of unwind and kind of let go of work that you go to?
I like going to the boxing gym. I like hanging out with some good people. And mm-hmm. some friends of mine had some babies, so I like playing with these babies.
Nice. Babies are a good unwinder until they start crying, and then
right.
you're like, wait,
it's like, all right,
you go back.
Tap it out. See ya. I'm
yeah.
out.
That's where the ring meets the real life. You're like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm working on another project right now, which is keeping me very busy, which I really love, and it's dealing with my hometown in Winnipeg, uh-huh. where they have the best tax credit in North America, not just Canada, at 65%.
Wow.
And a lot of amazing, talented people are in that city. They have one of the best fringe festivals in the world. The theater district and the plays that are put on there from the community are world-renowned. And so the talent is there, but the infrastructure is we don't have a studio. So we're everything that it's been busy in mm-hmm. Manitoba with the amazing crew, but we just don't have a place where we can shoot it all. So I'm a part of a group, and it's called Wonderlight Studios and Wonderlight Entertainment, that we're really looking forward to building a multi-million-dollar infrastructure there to bring even more business to Manitoba, because I think the world needs to see what kind of an amazing community that is. And that's where I started.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately had to leave to do the things that I did, which has been great. But I would love to give back in a way, our team to give back in a way where everybody can just have this amazing experience coming out of Winnipeg.
It's so great that you can give back to your hometown or your home, you know, just something that take your experience and your success and translate it into something like a new project.
And absolutely. And that's, you know, that's the goal. That's what I'm hoping for. And it's just a little bit more visceral because it is my hometown and they've treated me so wonderfully and beautifully. That if there's this sliver of hope that I can help in some way and be a part of it, it's an honor for me that I would have that opportunity.
So what are the steps when you're taking over something like a huge project like that? How do you get involved first, and then kind of where do you go from there?
It's a team. I got brought on by Melissa, Bill, and Eric. And Bill ran Disney Studios for a couple of years. He made new departments at Disney Studios, and he saw the potential for us to make this studio, and we just kind of harnessed through there. I honestly just got lucky. I got lucky to be in the conversation and then offer my services in any way that I could. And I'm just extremely excited that we get to, you know, at least start the journey of making more infrastructure. If it's not us, hopefully we've kind of nudged other people too. Right now, we're pretty close. Nothing's for sure, but mm-hmm. we're really happy where it's going.
That's such good news.
Yeah, it's great.
And when you, I know that you're involved with other things like the anti-bullying campaign and Red Cross.
Right.
How are you able to kind of give to those? How do you give time? Do you give? What are you able to do for those?
You know, it's mostly been, you know, I've done videos and talked to a lot of people, talked to a lot of kids, and just sharing my story, because I came from, it's interesting because I'm an advocate for the helping the bully more than anything, because there's the hurt there. There's a lot of stuff going on with the bully, and if you can harness that, and if you can nurture and be compassionate with that, there would be no bullying. So that there would be no victim.
Right.
So I the aspect of, you know, obviously having compassion for victims of bullying, but I really think we can stop it just by letting them know that, you know, no matter how big you are or how cool you think you are, everyone needs to talk to somebody. And that's okay. That's actually what a tough dude does is, you know, just open up and try to get rid of, you know, whatever aggression there is and try to chat it out. I mean, it's tough when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You don't know how to navigate through that stuff. It's mm-hmm. really intense when you're a kid and all the hormones are all over the place. So to know that this very linear line of it's okay to talk to somebody about it, is slowly breaking down, which I'm really happy for.
Was there a personal link that you had to specifically anti-bullying where you thought, well, you can think back as a child and you're just thinking, oh man, if my life could have been so different had I gone this different way, or if I didn't have like a strong figure in my life to help me out? Or
that's a good question. See, for me, I've dropped in both avenues personally. To be totally honest with you, I dropped in being the victim of bullying and how that feels, and you know, being the person of going like, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. How did I screw up to where this person wants to do this to me? So you all make it about yourself, and then being the bully, you're literally going wanting the attention from everybody around you while you're making somebody else feel smaller than you. And none of those ever felt good to me at the time, but I did it. And then, and just going like, this gave me no satisfaction.
Yeah.
So the idea of me having, you know, personally been involved in it, it's palpable. It's been there, and if I can help in any way on each side. And again, you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you're going with the masses a lot of the time. So it's okay to know something gutturally that feels wrong, that you can, you know, have the supportive people going, yeah, I don't think that's cool. Let's figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a cliche saying, but it's hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to be nice, guys. Like, just be nice to everybody.
I totally agree, because you can't go wrong with that.
Right.
How can you go wrong with that? Especially when you're not vested in, you know, it's that thing where I'm going to say something to you and I'm expecting an answer. You don't give me that answer. And now, because I've expected something, I'm disappointed. As opposed to this flow of just, let's just make it all good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, again, like, I came up from a boxing background, being a big guy, always, you know, getting in the fights. And you just realize that, man, there's such a better way.
Yeah.
And I have a friend that's going through cancer treatment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the joy in his text and when I talk to him is, you sit there and you go, he's not wasting any time on being upset about anything.
Yeah.
He's got amount of time. And when you think about it, you're like, why be upset about anything? This is just all love, man.
Yeah. It takes the energy out of you to be mad or angry.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think everyone should live a life like that.
That is that's a good thing to think about and really bring into everything. So I did have a few just quick questions I want to follow up. So you still box, it sounds like?
Once in a while.
Okay. You used to play in a band, and that's kind of the discovery of who made you. So what instrument do you still play?
I played bass. Mm-hmm. And I was playing in a bar in Winnipeg, and a casting director saw me and asked if I would audition for this movie.
Heads.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
what I gotta lose?
I know. And so I went to the audition, and I remember seeing six guys saying the same line, going, built for comfort, built for comfort, built for comfort. I'm like, the hell are these guys doing? Fast forward a bunch of years, I'm that guy.
Uh-huh.
But so then I remember going in, and the director, I opened the door, and the director just kind of saw how big I was. He goes, oh, watch your head on the door frame there. And I immediately just responded with, well, I was more concerned about your head on the doorknob, because he was a small guy. and the casting director was like,
and the air goes out of the room.
Right. And then he goes, okay, you know what? Let's just start with a slate. I'm like, absolutely. What's a slate? So green, right? And then I said the lines, and then I definitely didn't get the job because of the way I said the line. It was definitely one of those things. It's like, this guy's fun. Let's have him on set. And then I didn't realize that. So I was Roddy McDowell's butler.
Right.
And it's a black comedy. John Cryer's in it, Jennifer Tilly. And I didn't realize that I'm a butler that does stuff to greyhound dogs.
Uh-huh.
And so he goes, in the scene, he goes to John Cryer, these dogs are built for speed.
Yeah.
They're built for comfort.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right, Roderick? And he looks at me, and I've got these scratches down my face. And I'm like, built for comfort. And I'm like, why that? What? And then I literally was going, I need to act in something else so I am not just the guy screws greyhound dogs.
Yeah.
So that's what made my career.
It's a good start.
I cannot be known as that guy.
Yeah. No, that's... okay, so boxing, band.
Yeah.
Would you rather be in a zombie apocalypse, harkening back to iZombie, or a vampire apocalypse, like in Van Helsing?
Vampire apocalypse.
How come?
The zombie apocalypse is very like there's no thought. Mm-hmm. It's just this like brains.
Yeah.
The sensuality, the terror of a vampire. You can go so many ways. I would go with that.
Is there a favorite character that you've been able to? Or okay, I have a follow up to this one.
Okay,
favorite
go.
Character that you've played.
A favorite. It's Julius.
Julius. Scott, yeah. I figured it was going to be that
hands
one.
Down.
Is there a dream character that you'd love to play? Because I,
like,
I
that's
have an
already
idea.
Done, or just one me making up.
It could be either. Whatever you. Whatever
I mean,
you're feeling.
I would love to have done Rocky.
Oh, Rocky would be fun.
That like when you the first Rocky and just the way they shot it and mm-hmm. how they shot it, and then the behind the scenes where they're rehearsing it. I would love to have been in the first Rocky.
Yeah, that would be amazing. My dream for you is to be Sabretooth from X-Men.
Oh my God, I've heard that a couple times.
Really,
yeah.
I feel like you are just the guy. So if anybody's listening from Marvel, we've got to get Alex
Let's
as Sabretooth.
Do it.
Wouldn't that be? That would be so fun,
dude. That would be amazing to play Saber. Oh my God!
And then we could strip it down like they did in Logan. I mean, it just. I'm thinking multi arc.
I love that.
Here. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna put some calls in and make it happen.
Make a call. Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's see. I have a few more. So, yeah. I want to go back to Comic-Con and conventions. When you're doing panels, is there? Do you walk in kind of knowing the obvious questions that are going to come about your character, or are you just open to anything that's going
to
happen?
I'm absolutely open to anything that's going to happen. What everyone has a different experience of the show and of the characters, and you know, I'm just open to it and try to answer it as honestly as possible.
Mm-hmm. And with credits like Supernatural, iZombie, Van Helsing, obviously Snowpiercer, it just seems like we're going to keep getting a list of more and more sci-fi things. Is there?
I don't know, man. I'm just really excited for the future and you know, things have been really great. Like, I'm a part of this Apple TV show called C,
right,
with Jason Momoa, which I'm really excited about. And Jay and I go back 10 years. We're mm-hmm. really good friends. And watching his star just take off, I'm so, so happy for him. And you know, we've been hanging out a little bit in Vancouver when we were shooting the show.
Yeah.
And just see how grateful he is a part of it. And so for me, being a part of that show and you know, it's a massive show. We have the premiere on Monday and then mm-hmm. it goes up on Apple TV on November 1st. And I'm just really excited for the new things, and every new thing leads to new relationships, and those new relationships leads to better experiences. And I'm just stoked the way it's rolling.
And we already have Momoa as Aquaman, so we could do a Sabretooth Aquaman, even though they're different. God. It's DC and Marvel, just to keep you guys on screen
yeah.
together.
That would be awesome.
It would make no sense, but
it would be awesome.
I'm making the calls. I'm going to write the script too. I'm going to be busy.
That's great.
Can you, just a real quick kind of rundown of what C is about. Can you give us a little?
It's 600 years in the future, where the Earth is as green as it can be, and the blues are blues as it can be. The Earth is just beautifully reborn, and everyone living on Earth can't see. They're all blind. And it's not like they just lost their sight. It's there has been no sight for 600 years. And so it's literally seeing the world that's created at that time. Mm-hmm. And then Jason Momoa's character, Baba Voss, has children, and they are gifted with sight, and then everything happens from
right.
there.
And how do you encompass a playing that kind of character where you're supposed to take out one? Because acting's all about visually, hearing, taste, feel. When you take one of those senses away, what does that do to you as an actor?
It's so we were in blind camp for a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's a thing?
Yeah.
What happens there?
Well, because everybody has
I could guess, but
you just have to react while you're acting. You have to react with your ears and uh-huh. not your eyes. Like, if I hear something over there and I do this, you lose the audience because you're reacting with your eyes. If you're just, you know, just letting your ear do it and then not focusing and mm-hmm. making sure that it's literally the ear is your eyes. And what's really interesting is one of the guys that was helping us, Joe, who's blind, he's the most remarkable man I've ever seen. He can read a script in 25 minutes, and this is how. He has taught himself to listen to the script uh-huh. at times three. So what you hear, what we hear is, mm-hmm. and he knows exactly what's going on.
Wow.
And it's mind-boggling how he's trained himself. And that's basically C. Every other sense has been heightened. And so my character you know, I'm my character's named Weck, and he's a slaver, and Jason Momoa's character used to be a slaver, and the idea that we meet somewhere in the show, but I had to, they were great with letting me create the character where I had to figure out, how will I know where slaves are, and how could I detect them?
Yeah.
And for me, I used like an open mouth, inward breath to detect fear. And so just incorporating that kind of stuff into the character, you don't get to do that anywhere else.
Yeah.
So we were really fortunate that we had some great people helping us a part of that show.
You get the coolest gigs.
Oh, man, it was the coolest.
You were so lucky.
It was the coolest.
Well, I know we're kind of running low on time here, so...
What?
I know. I could
Come
talk to
on.
You all day. You can stick around as long as you want. I'm happy to talk to you. So if you guys want, you can catch Alex on Van Helsing. We're in season 4 right now on TNT. We can do this... it's just
C-S-E-E.
Apple TV coming in November.
November 1st.
Well, Puppy Killer, are we going to get that?
We're doing a bunch of festivals, okay. So we're going to do the festival run, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Amazing. And then can you tell me one more time about the studio? What's it called?
It's called Wonderlight Studios in Winnipeg, Manitoba, building infrastructure into one of the greatest cities, creative cities that I've ever been to. So I'm really excited about that.
And can our community do anything to pitch in towards that, or can we help out with anything, or how do we keep updated on that?
I don't know yet. I think we're rolling into it. We're going to be getting an Instagram account shortly, and then we'll just make sure we run with it.
Amazing socials. So, and then you can follow Alex. It's Alex Pa, right? It's
Pawn.
Pawn. P-O-U.
Yeah, A-L-E-K-S P-A-U-N.
Perfect.
Alex Pawn at Twitter and Instagram.
So just keep us updated on that, because it sounds like a really great project, and I'm so excited you can give back to your hometown.
Maybe
like
you guys can take the show on the road and come to the studio in Winnipeg.
I volunteer. I
Done
do
deal.
That. I've actually only been to Canada once. It was Vancouver, and it was a turnaround trip, so I'm due for a
Come the way. You're going to love Winnipeg.
I'm inviting You invited me, but I'm inviting myself to do coverage.
We're going to do the show. We're going to do the show from there.
Perfect.
What we've done in here, we will do at Wonderlife.
I love that. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Again, you can follow Alex to get any kind of updates that you'd like regarding all of his projects. My name's Jay Ellis. You can find me on Instagram at @don't_be_jealous or Twitter @still_jealous. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.